This is a work session on the 20-year comprehensive management plan update, and we're talking about the 2035 employment projection.
Okay, we're ready to start. So, Alder, I'm here in charge of heading up this session.
That's correct, Commissioners. Good morning, Commissioners. Oliver Ojiako, Community Planning. Today, I'm going to be discussing with the Commissioners the 2015 to 2035 employment projections that I will be asking the Board to choose employment projection for the 2016 plan update. Today, Colette, what I'll be covering on the agenda is the progress that we've made to date, followed by a review of the employment projections, and confirm or give us some idea of where the Board wants to land in terms of the employment projections. We will discuss next steps and then open it up for questions and answers. To me, with me today is Scott Bailey, the regional economist from the Washington State Department of Employment Security, and there are staff from Battleground, Washugo, and the City of Vancouver. I think you received a letter from the mayor of La Centre. If you don't have that, we'll make it available to the commissioners. I have two asks of the Board, but before I get to that, let me quickly review the package in the materials or document that we submitted to the commissioners. I will not go over the issue paper number 3 and the memo from Scott Bailey. I will quickly summarize those two documents and then ask the Board for where you want to land. Here's what we've done to date, where what we have reviewed. Since early July of last year, we started a GMA overview with the commissioners, indicating what the statute allows and what the statute requires as a background to the commissioners. We then reviewed with you the county vacant buildable lands model, how we use that model in our work with staff from our county GIS. We presented you with the preliminary scope or timeline, and also submitted a public participation for the plan update, which the Board reviewed and approved. We've also started or we developed what we're calling the Department of Commerce checklist. This is where we reviewed all the new bills that have been introduced since 1990 to make sure that as we do the update that our review and update is consistent with the state statute. And the Board made a decision on the 20-year population that we're going to use for the plan update. So that's where we are today.
For the sake of everybody here, where are those documents stored? How do we get to them?
There are, and I can show you if you want to go there, they are on our website. We turned that on today. And we tried as much as we can to make it user-friendly and easy to navigate. I can have our staff show you what it looks like if you
can
want. Yeah, we can access it just now. Let's show you. Okay, this is our net new 2016 growth management.
Can you navigate from the home page so everybody knows how to get there?
Yes, everybody knows how to get here. So, yes. And Jackie is going to walk us through what the website looks like. So indulge me in asking Jackie who worked on this, and from our PIO office, Sarah, who also helped us to put this together. So let me allow Jackie to just walk us through this quickly.
Sure. So this is community planning homepage. So we've got a link for the update right here at the very top. It will also be accessed through our normal comprehensive plan page, the current plan. So going to this link.
Actually, before you go, let's start with our county homepage so we know how to get to that page.
So it's not, I'd like to request that it be added to the
fund. That's what I was looking for.
Yes.
Can we do that?
Yes. Yes. With the permission of the board, we can do that quickly.
So, yeah, I'll grab my BlackBerry in just a moment.
So once you get to the page, you've got a variety of left-hand buttons here to kind of navigate through different topics. One is background, if you're interested in kind of learning more about the Growth Management Act and the history of planning here in Clark County. You've got our kind of, we'll start keeping a list of these, the common questions that people would ask, and we'll keep it running. When we get to the alternative section during the SEPA stage, this will become more informed. And then the timeline kind of breaks down the project into the phases. So the first one was, of course, the pre-planning, and these are the documents that were associated with that. Data analysis, which is the process that we're in here. And then, so these are final, already seen by the board documents. The ones that are being reviewed, of course, are on either the Planning Commission's grid or the board's grid for this meeting that are happening. So then we've got the get involved. So if you're interested in learning how to get involved, we have different options like signing up for our email notifications, attending meetings and having links to how you find out about those meetings. And then when it gets down to the point where there's public hearings, providing written testimony. Then we have a link to the meetings. So today, February 26th, is on the photo projection. You would click on here to link to, of course, the board's grid, and you can find the information that's being provided at this meeting. And the same for the Planning Commission. So this last week we had a Planning Commission work session, so this would go to their page, which shows the information and the links to those documents that were provided at that meeting. So the last couple ones are the library, which you will find information, reports, and plans that will help inform the update, as well as all the elements of our current comp plan that, of course, gets put part of the update. So links to all kinds of information here. And then the last one is the news. All the news releases that will be related to the comp plan will be here. And then, of course, our contact us, which is all of our projects. But we're working on, actually, we like the way the board has their contact our commissioners. And we're going to institute that kind of comment form where you would put in your name and your address and your subject, and it would go to us back.
Still working on that. That should be done by the end of this week.
Wow, great job. That's
your
good job. You guys did great as a
woman. Thank you. I give all the credits to Jackie Camp and also Sarah from PIO, Mary's staff. We've been working on this since after our last meeting, and I appreciate the work that they've done. Moving on to the next slides, these are key points of consideration that I want to bring to the board attention. One is that, and I've made this comment before, observation before, that the Growth Management Act does not require local jurisdictions to plan for a particular job number. So in other words, it is a policy of the county to choose whatever population number you want to plan for, but there have to be a relationship to that number, to your employment, to the population that you've already chosen. We use the population and the job number in the sizing of the urban growth boundary. That's really, and then other planning assumptions. That's the real key input in the sizing of our urban growth boundary. In the past, the county have used jobs to population ratio, and what I would like the board to do is direct staff that we shift to jobs to household. That makes more sense. In other words, when you do jobs to population, job to population ratio, you're looking at population as the total number. That includes newborns, that includes people that are moving into our county. So doing jobs to population ratio is not a good measure of the number of jobs that you want to create in your community. So I'm recommending that we use jobs to household. In other words, if you recognize that there are 2.59 or 2.6, whatever that number of household is, that there may be one job for every household, or however the board wants to look at that. But I will be recommending that we move away from jobs to population and shift to what other jurisdictions are doing. That makes more sense, jobs to household. And finally, the board in the 07 plan, the ratio was 1:1 in terms of jobs to population, which was very, very aggressive. But if the board shift to jobs to household, you can also maintain the 1:1 ratio.
Over one of the things that the may or may not take into consideration was, in the peak times, we've had as many as 30,000 people went across into Oregon to get jobs. So that wasn't really reflected, or did reflect the shortfall that we might have had in previous planning as far as creating jobs. So I'm looking to increase that jobs per family so that we allow enough commercial and industrial areas to be recognized to create those jobs.
Yeah, I'll get into that as we move forward. To reduce the number of, I think the work that Scott Bailey did took that into consideration, and I'll get into that next slide. That gets me to the memo and the work that the Washington Employment Security Department put together for us. And we have relied on Scott in the past, so this is not new. I'm glad that he's here today to answer questions that the board may have when we get into comment and questions. But in his analysis, and I don't want to take anything away from Scott, I want to highlight the key factors that he considered in giving us the employment projection for 2035. So the key factors he looked at was is population and housing. He relied on the middle of the road growth projection that the board already approved, and that was the OFM medium projection of 562,207. The board have already made decision on that. He also looked at, in the case of the metro area, counties in the metro area, Clark County persons per household is projected to increase to 2.66. So he looked at that. And also, we know that in the 2007 plan update, the persons per household we used was 2.59. We are going to be recommending that we use 2.66 in this update. And part of that is because we realize that the persons per household is increasing or have increased due to kids moving back home. There's a lot of doubling up that is occurring. The 2.66 is just average in the county. There are some areas that will be 3 or more, but on the average, we are looking at 2.66. And he also looked at labor force and employed residents. This is, you know, in terms of the labor force participation in the county. And he also took into account the projected unemployment rate, the aging of our population. The board have heard us say that the county is growing, and the same is occurring nationally. And he also looked at the recession impact. The other factors that Scott considered was the gross non-farm employment, looking at the national projection, which shows a slight decline in the percentage of self-employed residents, and also take into account, as Commissioner Milky was mentioning, the number of county residents commuting across the bridge for work, and looked at the net employment. Again, included in that is the jobs to housing ratio. Currently, there are about 58 to about 60,000 county residents commuting across the river for work. The next slide shows the four scenarios that, or sample of the four scenarios that Scott provided us. These are the four scenarios and how they compared. I will briefly describe each of the scenario and then get to my ask. In scenario one, in a nutshell, this looks at, if the board were to consider that this is more of a lower job number in Clark County, and this will continue to focus people to into Oregon to look for work. If you go to scenario two, this also will continue sending Clark County residents to seek work in Oregon. And in scenario three, this represents very close, this is very similar to scenario four. This is very close to a one-to-one ratio. And for this, if the board chooses scenario three, it means that in the next 20 years, the county will add a net new job of 78, a little bit close to 79,000. And this will reduce the number of county residents crossing the bridge to seek for work by close to 24,000 or 25,000 from the current 58,000. If the board chooses the aggressive growth rate scenario or self-sustaining community, which is what the county staff is recommending, this again is very similar to a one-to-one ratio in terms of jobs to housing ratio. Under this scenario, the county job growth will need to be greater than or grow greater than 2.2% annually. And under this scenario, we are looking at a net new job of 91,200. And you can see also on this scenario the net acreage needed to make that happen. I put in here a note that our current or 2013 vacant buildable lands model indicate that we have about 6,600 available net employment acres currently available.
Albert, along that acreage needed, we learned a lot in the last couple of years when we started doing an overlay, recognizing wetland and riparian areas. So it would give us an idea as to what we'd be looking at for a future urban growth boundary, something that we didn't really have before. So when we talked about that acreage that was almost 50%, we just happened to live in a very wet area of the state. So it helped us get a picture of what we're looking at for an expansion.
Commission, it's too early for me to say how much we will need. What I will say to the board is, in my ask, that the board recommend that we choose the aggressive growth rate scenario. That's number one. And number two, that you hold a hearing so that you can hear from other partners who may have some other information that I don't have. And finally, that we engage our local jurisdictions and other partners to begin conversation on what is the condition of the acreage that we currently have in the VBLM or in the UGA. Are they the right type? Are they in the right location? And if so, or if not, what else do we need to do? I think I want the board to choose the aggressive job growth scenario, and then we'll start that conversation with our cities and our partners to look at, and we will engage our own GIS staff to look at what is currently in the inventory. Are they at the right location? Are they at the right size? Do we need 20 acres, 40 acres? What is it that we need? Because some of this total may just be 2 acres, 3 acres, 4 acres, all gobbled together that will require aggregation. Some of them are not even accessible. So we might be, we will do a much better work to come back to the county as we engage our local jurisdiction to determine what is the right type of land that we need going forward. And it may require us to say, what we currently have is not suitable for the type of land or the type of acreage or the right location. I would like to do that in involving the cities in that conversation and then coming back with the board to approve whatever that number is. And that's all I have, Commissioner. So I have two acts direct that we use the one-to-one ratio in terms of the work that we'll be doing going forward, and again chose the aggressive growth scenario and do that in a public hearing which will set a date, and then the next step we engage our cities in the conversation of looking at doing a better analysis of the current land we have. We may even involve EDC in that conversation because they are also our partners. And the cities may weigh in. That's all I have to present to the board. So I look forward to where the board wants to land.
I have some questions. This comp plan includes not only unincorporated area of Clark County, but all of Clark County, all the jurisdictions within it, right?
That's correct, Commissioner.
The number that you're asking us to pick for the forecast for the terms for the future, I assume that each of the jurisdictions, each of the cities within Clark County, that they also have their own particular forecasts. And that before we pick the big number for the whole county, we would want to be able to hear from each of those jurisdictions that they would provide to us what their portion of it would be. Have we reached that point, or I assume it would be a two-step process.
Yeah.
Consider the unincorporated area, and we get the input from there, and then we have a composite number that's based on all that.
That's correct, but I will add, Commissioner, that the number that the county will choose will be the number that the county and the local jurisdiction will be working on. It will not deviate from whatever their aspirations are. We will incorporate that in that conversation and the final decision that the board will ultimately make. They will be consulting their councils, but each one of them can speak for themselves. But yes, they will be looking at their own tax base and having conversation within their community and incorporating that vision for their community and the overall direction that the county wants to go in addition to the jurisdictions.
So I'm thinking about sequence. What happens first? Do we end up with a number and we say, here's the number we picked? I wouldn't think that'd be a very collaborative process. I would think it would be including them up front, welcoming their input, and then we would factor that in as a collaborative partner.
You are correct, and each one of the cities can speak for themselves, but we are indeed coordinating this effort with each of the jurisdictions, but it is the role of the county officials to pick the population number and the job number, and then we take that information and work with the cities on how we divide it up and incorporate their own aspirations going forward.
So I would think that what we do is open up a window of time now and would say, we welcome your feedback, we welcome your input. If you want us to include you as your insight for your particular jurisdiction, you know your area, your city better, then inform us so that we can do what we best we can to accommodate your vision, your future.
That's correct. At the end of the day, the county number is going to be the controlling number, Commissioner. And as such, you saw the letter from the city of La Centre, where the mayor recognized that, they have very little both employment and commercial land, and would like to you know, continue to do something to support the economic growth of the city of La Center, as well as their tax base. So their input will be incorporated into the work that we are doing. I'm not, I hope I'm answering your question. But the cities are here, some of them are here, they can speak for themselves. But we are coordinating with them, and some of them have not had the opportunity to have their council weigh in, and they've acknowledged that. But it is our goal to work with the local jurisdiction. At the end of the day, the county number is the controlling number, and our plans, both the county and the city, will have to be consistent, internally consistent, going forward.
Sure. So what one of the bottom line that we want to be able to accomplish today is for us to choose a number today.
Give us some direction. You can do that at a public hearing, yes, but you can hear from the cities today as well.
And so what I'd like to be able to do is hear from the cities before we choose them, because we don't want to choose for them. We want to consider their feedback and then make a more informed choice.
Sure.
We've already chosen a prediction of population growth, and that will be influenced in this area.
That's one of the input that Scott used in making this projection.
Yes. It was all pretty much unanimous.
It was unanimous, but yeah. Again, the cities are here. We may start with Commerce, however you want to go about listening from the cities. And Chris can also chime in, but yeah, let's have the cities respond to your questions.
So you're looking for us to comment? One of the slides shows the GMA does not require local jurisdictions to plan for a particular number of jobs. So in Canvas, we need to be able to maintain some flexibility. And what I mean by that is, I'll give you an example. During the downturn in the economy, the city was approached by Fisher Investments, and they decided to come to Canvas and do a substantial investment and also provide jobs that basically kept Canvas neutral in terms of job losses and gains over the last 2 years. So it's been a fantastic opportunity. That required us to amend the comprehensive plan and zoning from a light industrial business park to a commercial designation. I believe without that, they wouldn't have come to the city of Canvas. So we do need that flexibility. And if we're saying job allocations based on a certain number for commercial or industrial or certain acreages of land, we believe that that cuts into our ability to be flexible. We're just starting our update for the 2016 planning cycle. We do an envisioning process in the city. We've been approached by several partners that represent over 600 acres of land, including Fisher Property, Sharp Microsystems, McKay McDonald Property, which is a large landholder out there. And they want to work on a master planning concept, which looks at evaluating the land and how best to utilize it. And I think that group is in a position to be able to do the market studies and the other analysis to really help the city hone in on how best to utilize that land. And so whatever we do, we want to make sure that we have that ability to be flexible and do what works best for the city of Canvas.
So the bottom line direction, if we choose the aggressive, self-sustainable, where we become a business hub for the region, that's really that allows. That's just the top level number. There's nothing at this point that is trying to lock down those line items that make up that top number. Right? We still can have all that flexibility.
Yes.
Right. So far, so good. Yeah.
And I think the county will also have that flexibility, if I may add. I think this also gets down to, like I said, conversation with our city partners and others, because not only picking the number, one thing is to pick the number, the other thing is how do we as a community strategically begin to plan and begin to invest appropriately in a manner that gets us the desired results. So I'll leave it at that, but let some of the other cities chime in.
Looking at that, we have not engaged our council on any of the specifics of this update yet, because I think as Oliver said, it's sort of at the macro stage. But certainly the rollout that Oliver described of first taking the population and then looking at the job prospects in light of that certainly makes some sense. And so the aggressive forecast. Certainly from historical terms, it's aggressive, but it's at least within the Vancouver city and UGA. Some of the past work that we had done in our comprehensive plan certainly suggests that there's enough land for that. I think also in speaking about these kind of macro general issues, it's also important, as Oliver noted, to not lose sight of some of the specifics too. There may be particular dynamics in economic development that get lost if you just talk about the total increase involved.
Right.
In Washougal, I briefly had a work session earlier this week, discussed the employment projections with them. They were at least in agreement that the aggressive number that the county is looking at is acceptable. I think that the overall, really, in looking at the numbers itself, is that we have sufficient land. We believe we have sufficient land for employment, as well as residential and commercial. Obviously, there are things that inhibit that development, which is typically infrastructure, which is cost. And we start looking at expanding boundaries now. The cost of proving up that is something that can occur can really skyrocket, and we don't have the money to invest in all that. So we like the population number, we like the suggested employment recommendation, employment projection, and we're happy to be partnering with the county.
Sam from the City of Battleground. Our city council has been updated on since the planning 101 introduction to this whole process. They're in agreement with the medium population projections. They haven't looked at this aggressive employment scenario yet. But in general, the process that Oliver's laid out, I think, seems reasonable. The data seems reasonable. I would add that there have been some, there's a report that was put out by the Thunder River Economic Development Council a couple of years ago that had a lot of good policy decisions in there in terms of the need for manufacturing industrial land. So I think some of that information could be folded into some of these strictly population and acreage scenarios. In general, I think the aggressive stance is something that I think is a good conversation starter with the City of Battleground. And as we actually start getting down to actual acreages and allocations, then we can continue that conversation.
So the medium is where the city is right now, but there's more discussion to be had in considering the aggressive number.
Yeah, and specifically, I think, the question that arises when you take an aggressive scenario is really how much, and then that folds into capital facilities planning. So if we're taking in more acreage than we can really finance, I mean, those are some policy implications that the city needs to consider. But generally speaking, our current comprehensive plan does take a more aggressive approach, I'd say, to planning for employment lands. City of Battleground doesn't want to be simply a veteran community, but wants to be a self-sustaining sustained community.
one more time. Did you say your UGA was big enough? I'm sorry.
For the population, we believe it's the population target that you guys have set is consistent with what we've been planning for, and we believe that that's a sufficient size. There may be room for some discussion in minor boundary adjustments. So we believe we have sufficient lands for both population and employment.
But I guess I always remind you of Seattle of the voting last year, you know, right? And last person that came out. So, I'm sorry, you can move it for only a small drop of lighters.
And that was something that we planned for back in the 80s when we were just the mill town.
That's right.
And we've come a long way.
Washougal, my clarification was your river boundary?
Yeah, we are comfortable with the boundary that we have now with the application for job and residence. We are the work, like Battleground, the work that went into the existing plan that we have now, capital facility-wise speaking as well, is done. You know, we did that. We know how we can do that. Now we can now look at expanding that. That's more work, more money that we have to be looking at that. But what we have, we are comfortable with that.
This is for 2035?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I understand Battleground looking for a larger UGA.
No, I'll just clarify. The distinction between the median population projection that was given a few weeks ago, that seemed reasonable. And this is like an aggressive job rate scenario that seems reasonable. But I think in terms of the stage we're at, I'm not at a place to speak for our city council yet until we actually start unfolding some of the real data. But in terms of the overall, I see this as just kind of a process that Oliver's trying to lay out for that conversation. That's reasonable.
Okay. So the door is definitely open. So.
Yeah, I got some questions as well. They haven't heard from Scott David. Are you able to? Well, got a little context here. One is that we have two choices in front of us. One is to try to be faithful to the reality that's going to unfold for us to be as accurate as we can in predicting the weather forecast for the future. That's a passive role. Hopefully we won't all take a passive role. But the question is, what can we do to take a proactive role to change the weather for the future, to influence it as much as possible so that we can, I like the terminology here, take that and help to facilitate, champion the aggressive job growth so that we become self-sustaining as a community, become the business hub for the region and not a bedroom community of Portland, not a retirement community for the Northwest. We want to, yes, we want to be able to play a role in that, but what can we do in this and this is one part of it, to choose not erring on the side of wishful thinking, but to choose the path that we think we can achieve realistic. Are we realistic in this aggressive choice here?
I don't know.
you're the guy who doesn't know.
Well, you're asking an economist for a forecast with our track record. I want to stress a couple of things on this sort of model that Oliver did a great job of summarizing the key steps in. And one is the further down you get, the more uncertainty there is. So given that population projection to get to the labor force, I'm pretty comfortable with that. The demographic part, that changes very slowly over time. But then you have the choice of, well, how many people who live here are going to be working here versus working over in Portland, along with the flow in the other direction. There's been an increasing number of commuters coming the other way from Portland. It's smaller. So I do want to stress that this is a net cross-county commuting.
Right.
It doesn't mean bridge traffic would drop. Bridge traffic may very well increase coming the other way so that there's more of a balance, which is what happened in Washington County and Oregon over time.
Right.
Initially, it was pretty much one way into the core, and now it's backed up both directions, 24/7. That's a little exaggeration. And then when you get down to the industry level, that's really a lot of, you know. And so your point about flexibility in terms of what comes our way is, I think, really important. I also think the points made around the cost of the capital costs are important to recognize those limits as well. And finally, this net acreage number, again, is based on a current density number that the county has estimated.
Right.
You would need more than that acreage to market, because
right.
you need a variety of parcel sizes and locations
right.
in order to meet the market need. So it's not that if you went aggressive, you would need 5,700 acres on the market. You need more than that, because people, companies come in with different needs and go from there. So all that has to be kept in mind around that whole capital budgeting process. And
good question.
Sure.
We've been talking about the cities here, but the ports are big economic engines here.
Absolutely.
Are they present? Anybody representing any of the ports here? I would think that we want to be able to make sure we get their input in for Kennedy's numbers as well.
Right. Once you get down, again, we're kind of going down towards more detail. They would be key players in that next step as well.
So if I understand what you said, I think you just said that if we choose this larger, more aggressive number, we're going to need more acreage than we're currently planning, right?
So I don't know what you have now in your inventory, and again, how much of that has been really vetted out in terms of how much of it is wetlands, how much of it is really usable, what are the transportation linkages, so is it really, what can you really practically expect to happen there? But you had a question about, you know, how can we facilitate this happening? And I think in the past, what's happened when there was rapid population growth is that land that was initially zoned for commercial industrial got shifted to housing. And some of that land was really from a transportation linkage was primo land in terms of where you'd want to locate a business. That's been done, you know. But going ahead to ensure to be vigilant, because sometimes in terms of demand is not the same across the board. Sometimes demand for residential might be greater. The demand for industrial particularly is more of a longer planning horizon. And so you have to, if you don't hold the line, then you'll find yourself giving up some land that down the years later you might have wished that you hadn't developed. So I think that's kind of the lessons learned. I did this scenario for the very first plan back in the early 90s, and kind of have watched that happen over time.
One of the things that we recognize that we are restrained by is the Columbia Gorge, Columbia River on the south and the west side. So most of our planning has to go north in between Columbia River and the Columbia Gorge. So we don't have the flexibility a lot of people do because our growth can only go in a limited direction.
Well, I-5 is a good place to plan.
We've been recognizing 503 and the I-5, even looking at 192nd and so on. But we're still restrained where a lot of communities are not.
I think that's the only other things I would have to add is, again, this is, a 20-year guess as to what the future brings, and who knows what's going to happen with technology. Or you look at employment projections from 10 years ago, and few people saw the impending disaster.
Right.
So caution always when looking ahead, and flexibility.
So, Oliver, are we looking for guidance? Are you looking for guidance today for us to make a decision? Or is this kind of heads up? We might be making that decision soon.
Commissioner, I'm looking for. This is more of heads up, and like I said, I have two acts. And that is that you choose a population, employment projection for the 2016 plan update in a public hearing, and then that the next steps will include us having conversation or continuing the conversation with the cities, providing them the opportunity to check in with their council and go through the population and employment allocation after you've made a second decision on picking up or giving us guidance on the employment projection. So I'm asking for a hearing which we will schedule so that you can hear from other partners that may not be here today. And this will give the cities the opportunity to digest this and maybe come to that hearing with a different comment of different observation. As I said, you have a letter. I don't think that's going to change the position of the mayor of Los Santos. You may hear from Richfield, who is not here today. So, but that hearing will give you the opportunity to hear from everyone and some of our partners that are not here. What I said here, and I think Scott alluded to that, and that is, yeah, we can pick this number, but there are other issues we have to consider. I think Mitch mentioned it, that is capital facilities planning or how we invest going forward. Scott also indicated that these numbers are net, so it could mean that we may need more gross acreage to get us to the net. And I mentioned that in our conversation with the cities and other partners, that's where we begin to look at what we have currently in our inventory. Is it in the right location? Is it the right size? I think when you make that decision, that will get us to having a more concrete discussion with our city partners, and then coming back to the board for your final approval on how we allocated the numbers. But my two asks is, yes, I've given you a heads up on the aggressive job growth scenario. Make that decision at a public hearing, and then we'll walk away, engage the cities and other partners, doing additional assessment of what we have and what we will need going forward.
When looking date-wise for that public hearing, is it way out there? Is it?
I will check with Mark and the board office if I can have that in the next 2 weeks. That will be my goal.
In the
public hearing in the next 2 weeks.
Oh, okay. So between now and then, why don't we invite all of the cities and the courts to consider this and then inform us via email messages so that we can get on the same page and make sure that when that public hearing comes, we're not hearing it for the first time, but we're already kind of having a two-way conversation at a time.
That's going to probably happen. We're going to have no less than one more work session at least. I can see that. I hope at that time that individuals will come back and show us what we have in inventory and what that inventory represents as far as jobs. And that would be a kind of job we'll need from there. So.
We can arrange for another work session and bring back someone like Bob Poole to help us look at what we currently have, what conditions, what have been taken out, and what net do we have, and then going forward.
Or our other communities, give them time to go back also.
Sure.
Before we wrap up, I want to make sure that we go back and recognize the significance of something that was presented here today. That web tool, that collaboration, website kind of grids and all that, with Sarah Eckert and those that participated in that, that was a home run. This is a big collaborative process.
That the link is already on there if you
do. Really? Wow. I don't mean that to say you've got to get that done. I'm saying thank you.
Oh.
That was a home run. That will be a central tool that we'll all use so that we can see what meetings are coming up, what documents are there, how do we navigate this as a united community together. So we really want to make sure we recognize the amount of work that's already done to enable us to be on the same page so that we can sail through this. We've got a vessel to sail on now. So thank you very much for the team for putting that together to set us up for success.
Okay. Anything else to add? Questions? Comments?
Was the hearing coming up in 2 weeks? Or
no, we'll set a date.
We have to put out a public notice well in advance. So.
Okay, and it takes time to go to my council.
Oh,
too,
right.
So
right. All right. Anything else, Albert?
No, that's all I have, commissioners.
All right. Good job. Go for it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Captain, there you go.
Thank you. You're a man.
502?
So I said yesterday it looked good, so you put it out there?
Yes.
This surprised me. I didn't think he would be able to do it.
My staff at
first. Yeah.
That's why I love him so much. And said I did it even from home.